If you have the precious Word of God with you this evening, can I invite you to turn up to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. A great passage of Scripture that the Lord has truly blessed me in. I use it most times when I'm testifying. But while we're turning up to that beautiful Psalm, can I take this opportunity of thanking your pastor and the session of this church for inviting me here this evening to give a personal word of testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. I've had so much privilege of going about so many places testifying of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. And normally when I'm testifying, I testify on two fears, two dreams, and two promises. But I was double booked there about 3 weeks ago. I landed to the church and there was another man there. He was there to preach the precious word of truth. And he says to me, "Keith, I believe that you're supposed to be speaking tonight." I says, "That's right, brother." Well, he says, "We must be double booked." Well, I says, "I'll tell you, I'll give a word of testimony and you preach." So I said, "Tell him, how long have I to tick?" He says, "You can tick 2 minutes." But folks, you know the amazing thing about it? I could testify in 7 words. And we know 7 in the Bible is the number of perfection. And those 7 words reads like this: "Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful?" Truly, I can say tonight, he's wonderful to me. Wonderful to me. You know what amazes me every time I speak of Christ? I can't understand how somebody can come and stand behind the secret desk and talk about themselves. A word of testimony is to glorify the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This time, 8 years ago, folks, I was deep in sin. And I mean deep in sin. I haven't come to glorify sin tonight, or to give Satan any airtime whatsoever. But 8 years ago, I had been standing outside the pubs and the clubs as a doorman for the world. And just to think, 8 years later, I'm still a doorman. But the difference is, I'm a doorman for the Lord Jesus Christ, inviting you tonight to open up your heart's door. Let's hear God's word. Psalm chapter 34, commencing to read at verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times." And truly, I don't believe in adding or taking away from the Word of God. The book of Revelations tells us about that. I thank the Lord that we've got the full canon of Scripture here before us. But I have took out the and I've put in my. So it reads like this: "I will bless my Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." And truly, folks, I can say I had two fears from a little boy. Verse 5, "They looked unto him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." And I can say, like Paul of old, in Romans 12:1, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation." Verse 6 says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles." Not only do we see that the Lord saves, verse 7, the Lord keeps. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them." Not only do we see that the Lord saves, he also keeps, but praise the Lord, he satisfies. "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." With the word of God open before us, can we just take a moment? Still our hearts before the Almighty God. I need help tonight, folks. It's not the voice of Keith Shields you need to hear here tonight. It's the voice of the Spirit of the Triune God. With that, just let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious word of truth. And you've declared that the entrance of thy word giveth light. Lord, I pray, dear heavenly Father, tonight that the light of the gospel would shine in the minds of those that believe not. We know, Lord, that there's many blinded because of Satan. Lord, we claim the precious blood here this evening. Close this meeting then, Lord, beneath the blood. Keep and bound out the strong man. Any thought he may have, Lord, in the minds of people, Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, by thy power, that you'll rebound it right back into the very pit of hell where it belongs. We know that thy word, it's quick and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray, dear Lord, that you'll come with thy power this evening. Take me now, Lord, and strip me from self and from sin, and also, Lord, from that awful old disease of pride. Create into me now, Lord, that clean heart, Lord, and clean hands to handle thy word. And above all things, Lord, we'll be careful to give thee all the honor and all the glory, for thee and thee alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Truly, I stand before you here this evening as a sinner saved by grace. That's all I am. A sinner saved by grace, but a sinner kept by grace. And I thank the Lord that one day a sinner that will go home by grace. And how the hymn writer penned those beautiful words. Though many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It is grace has brought me safe this far, and it will be grace that will lead me home. I stand here tonight as a trophy of grace, of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do in a life. So then to my God be the glory for great things he hath done in my life. I love Psalm 91 and verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. It amazes me every morning when I seek the Lord in prayer just to think that the Lord Jesus Christ knows my name. And I'm just wondering tonight in this meeting, does the Lord Jesus Christ know your name? Well, the answer to that is yes, he does. Because that's the omnipotence of God. All-knowing and all-powerful. But what I am asking is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. The Word of God declares in Revelation 20 and verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into hell. Can I say something tonight? There's two things that will take you to that awful place called hell. Two things, folks. The first thing is you refused to accept God's way of salvation, and that was through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second thing simply is you listened to the lie of the devil, and he ended up deceiving you. You know, the Word of God says in Revelation 20 and 10, and the devil that deceived them. I love the end of that verse, shall be cast into the lake of fire and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Folks, for 35 years of my life, I was heading to that awful place called hell. And no doubt tonight in this meeting, folks, and I have no doubt, when the Spirit of God comes, and if the Spirit of God speaks to an individual here tonight, be sure of one thing, you're going to be in an awful battle. An awful battle, folks. You know, there's so much mockery. Satan has many pictures to paint in the minds of human beings. He's an expert of it, folks. I can say tonight that I'm no match for Satan. But see, the one that dwelleth within me, praise the Lord, I can stand in the promises of God's word. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan is a deceiver and has been for over 6,000 years. 6,000 years. You know, we see mockery so much today in our society. But folks, that doesn't surprise me because the Word of God tells me before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ that this country is going to be on an uproar, folks. And I mean an uproar. We see mockery everywhere we turn. 4 years ago, me and my wife went to Fua House. We walked into this home. And folks, I want to tell you something. I'm not an easy, scared fella. But I remember walking through this home, and the state agent took us into a room that was built onto the back. And when he opened it up, I'm sure he thought to himself, if anything's going to sell this house, it's going to be this massive bit that's built onto the back of this house. There was a massive pool table. And folks, I didn't mind about the pool table. There was a massive, some kind of a makeshift bar in the corner. I didn't mind that either because I could have ripped it out. But it was the plaque that was on the wall. And folks, listen what the plaque read. If there's no beer in heaven, I don't want to be there. If there's no beer in heaven, I don't want to be there. I thank the Lord tonight that not only is there no beer in heaven, there's not even a smell of it. But folks, I want to also say that there's no beer in hell also. Because can I tell you something tonight? There's not even a drop of water in hell. The Word of God tells me in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through to 31, about that awful place called hell. We read about a rich man in hell. Chapter 34 simply tells us, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Folks, I want to say something tonight. I haven't come here tonight to play church. I haven't come here to be somebody that stands behind the pulpit for a bit of entertainment. But I've come to here tonight for one purpose and one purpose only. And that's to warn you about your soul, folks. The Word of God tells me in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground. What are we in the flesh, folks, but dust? Chapter 3 goes on to say, from dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Next part of that verse says, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. And every heartbeat that's given here tonight, folks, is a given from my lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. It belongs to him, folks. Job was able to say, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But folks, this is the bit that I want to truly and penetrate tell you. And this is the most serious bit of this verse, folks. And man became a living soul. Your soul is the most precious thing that you own. Because your soul will never cease to exist. Oh yes, the old flesh will die and it'll waste away. And Job reminds us about that in Job 14 and verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man give up the soul. And where is he? In the impact of death, folks, your soul will determine where you will spend all of life's eternity. God's heaven or God's hell. Mark 8 says, for what shall a profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? My friends, it's the most precious thing that you own here tonight in this meeting is your soul. And your soul ought to be ready for the day of death. You see, as a young boy, I was brought up in a Christian home. A mother and father that truly loved the Lord, sent us faithfully to Sunday school, done their best. And truly I can say that my father lived from the book, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old he'll not depart from it. And sadly tonight, folks, I departed from the precious Word of God for 35 years of my life. You know, I could say like Timothy of old, as from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which was able to make thee wise unto salvation. But folks, as a little boy, Satan had a hold in my life. And I mean a massive grip in my life. Because as a young boy, listening to the preaching of God's Word, I can remember it so plainly. Satan telling me, Keith, you're not a sinner. You're not a sinner. How could you be a sinner sitting in church? How could you be a sinner? Satan used to tell me, I'll tell you what a sinner is. A sinner is somebody that grows up, goes out into the pubs and the clubs, and takes drink and drugs. That's what a sinner is, Keith. You ain't a sinner. I want to tell you something tonight, folks. I was a sinner from birth. Psalm 51 and 5 tells me, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. All have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. But as a young boy, 10, 11, 12 years of age, I developed two fears in my life, and that was death and that was judgment. Nobody had to tell me that I wasn't going to leave this scene of time. You know, it's appointed. Hebrews 9 and 27 says it's appointed unto man that wants to die. And after this, the judgment. Romans 14 and 12 says, so then, every one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. You know, we all must needs die, folks. Is that not enough scripture to open up your blinded eyes? Why we must needs die. The wisest man in the world, Samson, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2 says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. But folks, spiritually, I want to say there is a time to be born, and that's born again. And there is a time to die, and that's to die to sin. You know, we almost needs die because of the fall in the Garden of Eden over 6,000 years ago. You remember the first Adam rebelled in the Garden of Eden and brought sin and death into this world. But I thank the Lord, the last Adam, being the Lord Jesus Christ. He submitted in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he brought life and salvation to all that would believe. I stand here tonight before you at the age of 44 years of age, no fear of death. Truly I can say I have no fear of death. You know, there's many a time that I've said this to other brothers. If I was to die and it was to call one soul to the Lord, I'm prepared to go this very night. And I mean that from my heart. I truly mean that. You know, praise the Lord, death for the believer is only a doorway that leads us into heaven. That's all it is, folks, for the believer. And yes, we can say with confidence, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ rejoices in the death of his saints. You know, I don't know why or how, but the Lord gave me this wee verse here just recently, and I've been reading the Bible pretty often, to be quite honest. Not enough. But that Psalms 116 and verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, I heard of a godly lady, and she's from Ballymena. That's the mighty thing about it. I've spoke all over the country, and I think this must be the first time I've actually spoken in Ballymena, this area. But there was a godly lady, and you know something, she had come to death's door. And let me tell you something, folks, you know, when the lady told me this, I just couldn't help but think what it must be like when we come to death's door. But this lady was dying. Her husband was a pastor, and this lady couldn't speak, they reckon, maybe for a couple of days before this. She was just lying, going into conscience and coming back out of it again. But her last breath, folks, in this scene of time was, she took her hands from her husband, and she lifted her hands towards heaven, folks. And this was her last words in this scene of time. She says, Joe, do you see him? Isn't he absolutely beautiful? They reckon that lady's hands fell down by her side, and the smile came onto her face, and she took one gasp and went home to be with the Savior. They tell me when that lady was lying in that coffin, the remains, she still had that beautiful smile. But can I say something tonight, folks? That's what it's like to die in Christ. But it's so awful to die out of Christ, folks. I know a very, very godly man, a man that loves the Lord with all his heart. His Uncle George was dying, leaving this scene of time. And his Uncle George knew the scriptures, folks. Oh, I could say probably inside out. But his last cry in this scene of time was, oh hell, oh hell, oh hell. You see, folks, I can tell you something tonight. I had my life planned out for me. You see, I was making too much raw cash doing door work. And you see, this is one of the lies that Satan hit in my life. Well, sure, you know the scriptures. Give your life to Christ when you're 50 or 60 or 70. And he even hit me with this, and sure, give your life to Christ on your deathbed. Folks, I do believe in deathbed repentance. Certainly do. But can I tell you something that doesn't always happen? Doesn't always happen. I'll tell you why. Because the Lord's not always found, or the Lord's not always near. Sounds strange, doesn't it? That's not the words of Keith Shields. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 tells me, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. But you know something, folks? As I got a bit older, sadly, those two fears left my life. Went into high school, got myself into a bit of bad company. And truly, folks, I wasn't thinking about death. I certainly wasn't thinking about death. I was thinking about what I was going to be when I grew up. And as a mad young fella, truly, that's what I was, folks. Mad, totally and utterly mad. Broke my mother and father's heart from knee high. Had a wild bad temper, born with a bad temper. And I remember one day, we had visitors. And I remember my mum saying to me, Keith, you go on out and play out the back. And I says, no, I want a few of those buns or chocolate. I can't explain what it was. But I remember putting me out, and I remember running to the back of the house and grabbing a brush. And I remember putting the window straight through, folks. That's the kind of temper that I had as a young boy. But folks, you know, as I got a lot older, I developed two dreams. And those two dreams in my life was to become a doorman outside the pubs and the clubs with the white shirt and the black dickie bow, thinking I was a hard man. And truly, folks, those two dreams in my life became a reality. The other one was becoming a strong man. From the age of 22 years of age, folks, this was my God. The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But truly, this was my God. At the age of 23, 24, I become a doorman outside the pubs and the clubs. And folks, I want to tell you something now. It brought disaster to our home. I thank the Lord that the grace of the mighty God in heaven was still upon my life back then. I competed in 105 Northern Ireland Strongest Man. I haven't come here to glorify Keith Shields because there's nothing to be glorified in him apart from my lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a dream in my life to win a competition. I can remember lifting that trophy above my head that day, folks. And I can assure you now that buzz lasted for one day. Just the one day, folks. That buzz. You see, I knew, you see, now I had made it because I was to go across to Essex in England to represent Northern Ireland and Britain's Strongest Man. And folks, I want to tell you something tonight. This was far from a dream in my life because this brought disaster in my life. I'm not going to tell it tonight, but it brought disaster. You see, everybody's running about today feeding the flesh. And sadly, I want to say something tonight, and I mean this with love when I say this. So many Christians is doing the same thing. You know that broad road that leads to hell? The narrow road that leads to heaven? Sadly, today, there's believers that's got one foot in each road. You know, I get filled with churches, and I've seen the churches filled because they've come to hear about a strong man. Can I tell you something tonight? There's far from being strong in me. When it comes to the flesh, I'm as weak as water. In fact, last year, had I gone for a day procedure because of the back, I've wrecked the back completely. See, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But I thank the Lord tonight that I'm strong in the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart. You know, I wouldn't have took a pension to stand and testify 8 years ago because I thought, you see, this was for the softies. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's for the wise. The fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. I've rubbed shoulders with the so-called famous Jordan. Surely I can say she's still in the day of grace. And I pray that the Lord will save that girl. But I've seen what it's like, folks, in the clubs. Whenever she can't even handle her own drink, she has to go to the toilet to take the sniff. I was beside her, folks. Bodyguarding her that night with a boy called Dave out of England. And I can tell you something now, there's an emptiness in that gear because I seen it. When the lights went out, the show was over, the tears was running out of that young gear's eyes. Satan will offer you everything. But let me tell you something, his plan and purpose in life is to damn your soul in hell. To damn your soul in hell. You see, there's an empty void in everybody's life. An empty void, and that can only be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something, folks? Money doesn't bring happiness. Fame, fortune doesn't bring happiness. As I say, I've rubbed shoulders with these so-called stars. And you know something? We talk about Britney Spears at the age of 15 years of age. They reckon she was going to be the next Madonna. She was a millionaire at that age. Everything going for her. Why on four occasions did Britney Spears try to commit suicide? Why? I'll tell you why. There's an empty void in there. The Lord Jesus Christ says that I have come, listen folks, that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. You see, I was searching for 35 years for that buzz, but never once could I find it till the day and hour I dropped my knee and I prayed to that lovely Savior in heaven and asked for forgiveness. And you know something, folks? I just want to completely skip now. And I want to take you to 1 month away from the 27th of the 3rd, 2005, which was an Easter Sunday. 1 month away from it. I thank the Lord for those that has got a burden for outreach. Do you know what the greatest thing is in the church, folks? Number one, prayer. But you see, after that, folks, is the outreach. And then the preaching. I'll tell you why I say that, folks. You'll reach more unsaved people going out like the Lord Jesus Christ did. But yet, folks, in so many churches today, it's the weakest point. And I'm guilty of it also. So as I'm speaking here tonight, I'm also speaking to myself. But here was a band of young Christian believers handing out gospel tracts. I wasn't near a church from the age of 15. I rebelled. Says I would never be near a church door again. It wasn't for me. But this is what broke me here, folks. So often when we hand a wee gospel tract to somebody, we think it's not much. Can I tell you something tonight? That's a living word. That is a living word. As these young people were handing out gospel tracts, here I was standing outside that nightclub. 18 and a half stone. No fear of God. Not near a church from the age of 15. And that's what broke me. As they were coming down, they were ripping them up, throwing them up into the air, and mocking God's word. And the Spirit of God says to me, Keith, it's time. It's time. You see, I'll tell you something, folks. You know what I thought that night? Does these people not realize that one day that they're going to die and leave this scene of time? Do they not realize that they're going to stand before a holy God? Do they not realize they're going to hear those awful words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels? And the Spirit of God says to me, folks, listen to me, it's time. It's time. And folks, you know something? That night, I thought to myself, this is awful. And the Spirit of God says, Keith, there's no difference between you and them. In fact, you're worse, because you know the way. And I can tell you something tonight, folks. I trembled outside that door. I remember going across the road and these tracks that wasn't ripped up, I remember lifting them and bringing them home with me that night. But I thank the Lord for 1 month later. The Spirit of God stayed with me for 1 month. I thank the Lord for that. Because, folks, let me tell you something, that doesn't always happen. That doesn't always happen. You know, there's so many people miss the call. We read about Felix in the Bible, don't we? You remember Paul went to Felix? What did Felix say? Come back some other convenient time. Under conviction. Doesn't tell me nowhere in the Scriptures where Felix repented of his sins. But 1 month later was the 27th of the 3rd, 2005, an Easter Sunday night. I remember coming down the stairs that morning after being out at the club that night. And I remember after dinner, folks, the Spirit of God coming in a mighty and a powerful way. That's the way nobody can tell me there's no such thing as God. Because I had an experience like Saul of Tarsus. Oh, yes, folks, I remember lying in that seat. And I remember wondering to myself why the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to leave the splendors of heaven to come down into this sin-cursed world. You know, he was adored with the angels in heaven. They adored him. But yet, you know something, he manifested himself in flesh and came down here and went the whole way to the cross of Calvary. You see, whenever I thought about Jesus Christ, the punishment he had to endure, do you remember when Pilate was finished with him? Pilate handed him over to those awful Roman soldiers. You know something, we can say those were awful Roman soldiers, but you see, if you're sitting in here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you could put yourself in there too. And here we see those Roman soldiers took him into the common hall, and what my lovely Savior folks had to endure for my sins. My heart melted that day. And you know something? We read about the seven cries of the cross. And you know what amazes me, folks, was the first cry. After what these Roman soldiers done to my lovely Savior, you'll see the love of Christ was still there. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I remember trying to hold back the tears lying in that seat. I remember my wife saying to me, why are you not eating for today? My wife didn't know what I was under, deep conviction, and I mean deep, deep, deep conviction. I remember her saying, what time are you supposed to be in at tonight? I says, I'm supposed to be in at 10 o'clock. And this was about 8:45, folks. Now, I remember getting up on the seat, and I remember going up into that bathroom. And I can assure you now, I've been many's a battle with a fist in the feet. Can I tell you something? It was the biggest battle I was ever in my life, and it was for 15 minutes in that bathroom. Satan come in a mighty and a powerful way, folks. And my lovely Savior stood back and gave Satan 15 minutes. And he rattled me with almost every lie that he could possibly give me. He says to me, Keith, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make a mockery of this whole thing. You're going to ask the Lord into your heart and then you know what's going to happen. You're going to be looking back at the door work again. Wait to some other time. And then he come with another one. He says, you know what your friends will do? All those doormen, you know what they'll do? They'll laugh at you. Until I can say tonight, you know something, folks, your friends will laugh you into hell. But they'll never laugh you out of it. And as I say, Satan hit me with every trick in the book nearly. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the once, Genesis 6 and verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I realized that night that the Lord was calling. And folks, I can truly tell you tonight, I believe he was calling for the last time. I believe if I had rejected the Spirit of God that night, I believe I might as well this night have been in hell, because that's where I was bound for. I remember crying. First time ever I think I cried in my life, tell you honest truth. I remember just saying, Lord, just give me one more verse in the Bible. Just one more verse. Folks, that verse was enough. I remember going into the spare room where I thought the Bibles were kept, folks. And I couldn't even find a Bible. I remember pulling open the bottom drawer and I remember hooking. And there was 8 sheets of paper numbered from 1 to 8. A young man when I was 13, 14 years of age had a concern for my soul at church and had written these out and handed those to me, all those numbers of years ago. And this is the only thing that I could find. Couldn't find a Bible. You know what Satan told me? It was his last lie telling me. He says, Keith, the Lord doesn't want to save you tonight. He'll save you some other time. So you can't even find the Bible. But there I lifted out those 8 sheets of paper, folks, and the 8th sheet was sitting at the top. And you know what it read? It was just simply how to give your life to the Lord. I remember filling that paper with tears, repenting of tears, folks, true repentance. I remember coming down the stairs. I remember meeting my wife in the utility room. And I remember saying, where's the car keys? Crying my eyes out. I remember just saying, Lord, spare me to get to the top of Slieve Galleon, which is a mountain 4 miles from where I live at. And I remember driving down that road, folks, and I couldn't even get to that mountain. Because I still didn't repent. I still didn't cry out to the Lord to save me. But I believe I was saved that night in that room. Because you know something, folks? True repentance comes from the heart. Yes, we've got to confess it with our mouth. Roman Catholics thank the Lord for them. But they go every Saturday night to mass and to fill the chapel. And to ask for forgiveness of their sins. And I think that's the problem in today's society. There's too many people that's been fooled by Satan himself. It's only a matter of saying, Lord, come into my heart, amen. That's it, all over. There ought to be a true repentance in the heart, folks. And I remember pulling on the wee side road. I couldn't get near the mountain. I was crying that much. And I remember putting my head on top of the steering wheel. And I remember crying the sinner's prayer, Lord, forgive me for every sin that I've ever committed against thee. And I want to tell you something, folks. There was many a sin in this man's life. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I want to tell you something, folks. The heavens didn't open and the bright light shine. But I can assure you now the joy of the Lord's salvation entered in at that point. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells me, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I was a new creature at that point. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You know something, folks? I come up that road rejoicing in my heart. I couldn't wait to get up to tell my wife. I put my wife through some awful stuff, folks. No sense in me standing here telling lies. But that's what Satan will do. You know what he'll do? He'll take you further than you want to go. Wasn't the first rap Saturday morning that I got the rap on the door, arrested for GBH. A young boy, Stefan, at that time was 7 years of age, crying, "Don't take that away." Folks, don't you forget, this boy was brought up in a Christian home. You know, so often today, society, we think that the down and outers has come from a bad background, don't we? So often we see the alcoholics and those that just are lying on the street, and we walk past them and think they had a hard upbringing. Can I tell you something? Majority of these people has been brought up in good homes, and even better than that, folks, Christian homes. You probably hear tell 2 years ago of a young man called Fred McLennigan and went down into Corian and shot a young lady. And sadly tonight, folks, that was my cousin. Can I tell you something? He was brought up in a very godly home. A very, very godly home. Son will take you a lot further, folks. Listen. And you want to go. My father had prayed for me, my father and mother, for 35 years. And I'm sure Satan was telling them that he's no hoper. He's a no hoper. But my mother and father was faithful to prayer. I remember after hugging my wife and saying, "There's going to be changes in this home, Esther. I've given my life to the Savior." And I thank the Lord tonight from the bottom of my heart. The Lord did make a mighty change in our home. He gave us household salvation. 6 months later, my wife gave her life to Christ. My young boy's 17, going on for the Lord. And I have a wee girl at 8 years of age that says grace at the dinner table, giving the Lord the thanks for the food. But I remember running to the phone that night. My father was on holidays. And I want to say something, folks. If you're praying for a loved one and you can't get them into the house of God, keep praying on. The Lord is in the business of answering prayers. I remember lifting the phone and phoning my father. My father always used to say to me, "Keith, don't phone, not unless it's an emergency." Praise the Lord, it was an emergency. I remember phoning and I remember him saying, "Keith, what's wrong?" I says, "Dad, I've surrendered my life to the Savior." I remember rejoicing on the phone that night. The greatest holiday, he says, he was ever in. I remember the young man that wrote out the 8 sheets of paper. I remember dialing his number, and within sight about 20 minutes, he was at my home. And I remember going into the front room, and I remember kneeling and praying and just saying, "Lord, thank you that I'll never know what it's like to be in the dams of hell." You know, some folks, that's what the Lord loves. He loves a prayer from the heart. The problem today in this society, the 21st century, we all want to be scribes and Pharisees' prayers, heard of much speaking. But I can assure you now, folks, that was a prayer from the heart that night. And you know something, folks, I'm going to have to wind up. I spoke about two fears, two dreams, and quite quickly, I want to speak about two promises. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight, and your heart's heavy, and you've been searching for rest. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ says? "Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give ye rest. And he that cometh unto me," there's the promise, "I will in no ways cast out." Oh, my friend, just call upon him. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a promise that is tonight. What a promise that is tonight, to think that you could leave here with the new birth. John chapter 3, verse 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I plead with you tonight just to call upon him, just in case tomorrow may be too late. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, life's short, folks. Life's very, very, very short. And how James explains that perfectly in James 4 and 14. What is your life? It's only a vapor that appeareth for a short time, and then it simply vanisheth away. Little poem, "The clock of life is wound but once, and no man have the power to tell just when the hand will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed, to lose one's health is more. But to lose one soul is such a loss that no man can restore. 39 people died while I read this short poem. Every 1 hour, 5,417 people go to meet their Maker. Now listen, folks. What are you doing to reach them with the gospel ere they're cast into hell? You see that Luke 16, folks? It breaks my heart every time I read it. And I mean, it breaks my heart. I can barely read it without crying. And I'm far from a crybaby, but see, since the Lord saved me, that's truly what I am. Out of 20 doormen, one doorman phoned me. I was only saved about 3 weeks. I got the phone call. I was only in from church. A fella called Francis Campbell, Roman Catholic. He says to me, "You know, Keith, we miss you at the doors. We miss the crack. How are you getting on?" And as a newborn babe in Christ, I remember trying to explain to Francis that the Lord Jesus Christ loved him every bit as much as he loved me. I says, "Francis, just because you're a Roman Catholic, it makes no difference." I says, "Because the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners." I says, I can remember telling him, I says, "You know, Francis, Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And I remember telling Francis the way, Jesus is the way, John 14 and 6, where Jesus says, "I am the way." And I remember explaining to Francis as best as I could. And the last thing that Francis says to me in that phone was this: "Keith, I know that there's something more. There's a higher power out there." That's the last words he spoke on earth here to me. A mission had come to our town. It was Independent Methodist. As a newborn babe, I was running about as much as I could to get fed. And I remember being there that night, and a converted Roman Catholic from Pole Glass was testifying. And let me tell you something, I never heard a testimony like it in my life. But I could not sit in the seat thinking about Francis. If I just had Francis here tonight to listen to this word of testimony. And I remember when the meeting was over, running up to him, and I remember saying, "Brother, you wouldn't have a copy of that word of testimony." I says, "Because just a few weeks ago, I was speaking to a fella that does door work with me, or did do door work with me, and I was explaining him about the Lord Jesus Christ." And he says, "I've got a copy in my car." I says, "Brother, I'll give you any amount of money for it." He says, no, "I'll give it to you." I remember saving that copy of testimony. And I remember my ambition was to get to that dear friend. And I, folks, I want to tell you something tonight. He was a dear friend. And why I say he remembers me so much of that man in Luke 16, the rich man, because Francis was a rich man. Materially, Francis had everything. He was left a massive farmyard. He sold 2 plots of land and got over 200,000. He was going a wee girl from Australia and drove a beautiful car and lived in a beautiful home. And folks, I want to tell you something. I never got given Francis Campbell that word of testimony. I got the phone call. It was Padraig O'Kane, another doorman. He says, "Did you hear about Francis?" For some reason, I thought to myself, Francis had given his life to Christ. But you know something, folks? I got bad news. He says, "Do you remember the big farmyard that Francis was left?" I says, "I do, yes." He says, "Francis went down on Tuesday morning. Francis took a rope. Francis committed suicide." And I do not know, folks, but every time I speak in so many churches, I see Francis everywhere in the meeting. See, you're still in the day of grace, where Francis has went on beyond time and has entered into eternity. Pray that Francis is in heaven. But folks, I plead with you tonight, don't listen to the lie of Satan, because he wants to take you to that awful place called hell. And if hell was for 1,000 years, folks, at least there's hope at the end of the tunnel. But I'm telling you something tonight, there's no hope in hell. There's no hope in hell. I pray from the bottom of my heart tonight that the Lord will give you the power to call upon him. Because I can assure you now, I have tasted and seen what Satan has to offer in this world. And he's absolutely nothing to offer but damnation. Pray that the Lord give you the grace to call upon him. Amen.